Does a youth leader ever feel like they haven't figured out? This hasn't been my experience. However, I couldn't be an effective youth leader today without Dan Duckworth's presentation about going from youth worker to youth mentor. Mentorship is a key concept to understand when leading youth. In his presentation, Dan talks about ways to really turn the traditional approach to leading youth on its head. How can you better know your purpose? How can you find out their life goals? How can you build a relationship that is transformational rather than simply filling time during the weekly youth activity? You can watch Dan's presentation in the Young Saints Virtual Library by going to leadingsaints.org/14. You'll get free access for 14 days, and that will give you plenty of time to watch Dan's presentation a few times. Let's give youth the leadership they deserve. So my name is Kurt Frankum, and I am the founder and executive director of Leading Saints, and obviously the host of the Leading Saints podcast. Now, I started Leading Saints back in 2010. It was just a hobby blog, and it grew from there. By the time 2014 came around, we started the podcast, and that's really when it got some traction and took off. 2016, we became a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and we've been growing ever since. And now I get the opportunity of interviewing and talking with remarkable people all over the world. Now, this is a segment we do on the Leading Saints podcast called How I Lead. And we reach out to everyday leaders. They're not experts, gurus, authors, PhDs. They're just everyday leaders who've been asked to serve in a specific leadership calling. And we simply ask them, how is it that you lead? And they go through some remarkable principles that should be in a book, that should be behind a PhD. They're usually that good. And we just talk about sharing what the other guy's doing. And I remember being a leader just simply wanting to know, okay, I know what I'm trying to do, but what's the other guy doing? What's working for him? And so that's why every Wednesday or so, we publish these How I Lead segments to share. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Leading Saints podcast. And today we're going to the other side of the globe to chat with a leader in Freetown, Sierra Leone. And really cool to engage with somebody in this part of the world where the church is just booming as far as the growth, the faith there. And it's really fascinating to hear of church leadership's experiences in that part of the world. This is with Sar Doe, who is almost joined the church at a young age, has seen a lot of the growth in that part of the world, experienced civil war. I mean, all the darkness of the civil war in that part of the world came through, has had a lot of health struggles with accidents, things like that. But throughout all this, has served as a branch president and mission presidencies. He's currently on the high council of his district. And just a fascinating guy. Now, I must admit, the connection we had talking all the way across the world was a bit spotty. There was a delay. Hopefully, you don't notice it after our masterful editing. A shout out to Lillian, who helps me with that. But there was a delay in our conversation of about 10 to 15 seconds, which made for a more awkward back and forth conversation. So you'll hear that I just ask a direct question and wait for his answer to come back. But nonetheless, some great stories, principles to think about, an inspiring man for sure. So buckle up. Here we go. Here's my interview with Sar Doe.
My conversion story started in 1988 when I was 8 years. And I come across the church, and I was not able to get baptized at that age. And I had to wait until I was 13 because my parents, they are Muslims. I'm from a Muslim background, so to speak. my parents were Muslims at that time, so they didn't allow me to get baptized, and I needed to wait for some time until the time was right for me to get baptized. And I was baptized on the 13th on the when I was 13 year at on the 5th of September 1993.
Wow, that's awesome.
That was when I was baptized.
And then you just spent those growing up years in the church, and what was it like being a member of the church after your baptism?
It was a great experience after my baptism, especially as a child, a teenager. It was a great experience, and I learned a lot during primary classes, and even when I had the opportunity to pass sacrament for the very first time, it was a great joy for me to see me holding the sacrament tray and passing it around to the branch president at that time, and also the congregation. I felt the spirit, and I was touched with that, and I felt belong.
Yeah. Awesome. And at what age did you want to serve a mission? Did you always want to serve a mission?
Yes. In fact, when I turned 10 years, even before my baptism, I was so connected with the missionaries, the full-time missionaries and the couple missionaries. And if my memory can serve me right, I remember even before my baptism, I was sharing pamphlet to my neighbors and to my friends in school, telling them about the church before even my baptism. And since that time, I have the desire to go on a mission, to serve a mission. And even when I was during the Civil War, when I was captured twice by the rebels, and I always knew that nothing would happen to me, because I knew that someday, sometimes I will serve the Lord, so nothing will happen to me. So I was not even afraid when I was captured by the rebels twice.
Wow. And so wasn't the Civil War there also delayed your mission? You weren't able to leave at the typical age?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So because of the Civil War actually ended in 2002. And just after the Civil War ended and we had our election, I went on my mission.
Yeah. So maybe tell us about what's it like being a member of the church there today in 2024. How would you describe the church in Sierra Leone?
In one word, I would first say is the fastest growing church in this part of Africa, like Sierra Leone in particular. As I reflect my mind back decades ago to how the church is now in Sierra Leone, it's really a miracle and it's a huge blessing. And I remember in 2005, when I came to Sierra Leone from the Ghana MTC, the area president at that time, President Charles, or Elder Child, in one of our conference, told us that the Lord is in East in Sierra Leone, and many things will happen. And in less than 10 years, we have seen it with so many stakes. And as you know, we have, July, we have about 2 missions in Sierra Leone this July coming. And we have many stakes now in Sierra Leone, and we have a lot of church building, and a temple is going on. And the membership is just increasing.
Wow. So you do have, there is a temple announced for Sierra Leone, right?
Oh, the temple is under construction right now.
Oh, great. Awesome. And what is the closest temple to you currently, if you need to go to the temple?
You mean the closest temple right now? It's Ghana. And that is where I do my endowment.
Oh, cool. And that's a few countries over. So it's quite, you have to travel there.
Yeah, it's about 3-hour flight.
Oh, okay. What are some of the leadership experiences or leadership callings that you've had there in Sierra Leone?
My first leadership calling was a young men district, counseling the young men district presidency before I went to my mission. And after my mission, I served as a district eye councilman. And then after which I was called as a councillor in the district presidency. That was in 2006, after my teaching appointment from the MPC in Ghana. And after which I was released, and then I was called as a branch, as Elder Quorum President. And later I was also released after probably 2 to 3, I was released, and then I was then called as a branch president for my branch, the Lomley branch, which is now a ward in Sierra Leone. And then I served for approximately three to four months. Yeah, and then I went to BYU, Hawaii, and I did one semester. And then when I returned back in 2013, I was called as secretary to the Mission Presidency, the Freetown Sierra Leone Mission Presidency. That was in 2013. And in August of 2013, I was called as a first counselor in the Mission Presidency in Sierra Leone, the Freetown Sierra Leone Mission Presidency. And I served with two mission presidents when I was called in the Mission Presidency, because the first mission president that I served with, there was, because of the Ebola pandemic, the mission president and the senior couples and all the missionary were evacuated to the neighboring country. So I was serving as an assistant mission president at that time during the Ebola. And after which, in 2015, they called a new mission president, and he arrived in November, and in December I was called as a counselor, as a first counselor also to him. So those we are. Currently I'm serving as a state high councilman.
Uh-huh. Great. And when you were first called as a branch president, was that something you were nervous about, or what did it feel like to be called as a branch president?
I will not say that I was nervous about it. The first question that came to me when I was called as a branch president, how would I be able to connect one-on-one and know the heart of the members that I will serve as a branch president? That was the first thought that came to my mind. And I quite remember that day when the mission president called me that I'm going to serve as a branch president for my ward. And I was not actually shocked, but I asked myself how am I going to connect to my members? How am I going to know my members? How am I going to understand their spiritual needs and their physical needs? Those were the thought playing on my mind.
Yeah. And then serving in the mission presidency, what were some of your responsibilities in that role?
I was assigned to a few areas like the Makini zone, and then the eastern part of Freetown. My responsibility is to help do temple recommend interviews and to represent the mission president in few conferences, and also I help release return missionary who return from their mission. I release them, and then I normally the mission president normally delegate me to go with him to do interviews whenever we are calling district presidency or branch presidency, especially district presidency. So I normally go with the mission president and we do the interviews together.
And then what, in that role in the mission presidency, what are some principles that you learned about leadership serving in that role?
Yeah. So one of the leadership qualities that I learned is that to a willing heart, nothing is impossible. No matter the age, no matter the educational background, but as long as you have a willing heart, you would be able to do the Lord's work. And then I also learned return and report. And most time, the mission president will assign me to various districts. And then he would, at the end of the day, want me to return and report back to him. And then I would also want the district presidency or the branch presidency, especially district presidency that I was working with, to also return and report. And in doing that, it helps the Lord's work move very smoothly, and it helps us understand the needs of the district and of the mission. And it also helps us to get connected with the leaders one-to-one, both spiritually and physically, in returning a report.
I'm curious, with working with the young missionaries, this message of the willing heart, nothing, you know, to a willing heart, nothing is impossible. How did you teach that principle to the young missionaries as they came through?
As working with the young missionary, and you can see the anxiety on them, on their faces, and wanting to know exactly how they can go about their mission, or how life after mission will look like. And I would normally help them to understand that when you have a willing heart in doing the Lord's work, nothing will be impossible for that. I'll give you an example. For instance, a return missionary or a full-time missionary, you're in your apartment. I remember talking to a few missionaries, full-time missionaries, and I told them that if you have an appointment with your investigators and you find it very difficult to leave your apartment to go out that day, you feel homesick or you feel tired, or the investigators are not receptive, as long as you have that willing mind, that willing heart, to leave your apartment in the morning and to go out and teach the gospel, or in other words, proselyte, as long as you have that willing heart, when you go to your investigators or to the members who is going to help you to refer you to the investigators, everything will be possible, because those members or those investigators will be prepared by the Lord, not by you as a missionary. So I told them, in a nutshell, that the first thing that you need to have is to have a willing heart. And when you have a willing heart, the Lord will help you in whatever thing that you're doing.
That's great. I love that. Are most of the missionaries in the Sierra Leone area, are they mainly from other African countries?
Yes, mainly Nigeria, Ghana, and then Ivory Coast. And then we have missionary from America also, full-time missionaries.
That's great. And were the mission presidents that you served with, were they African, or were they from another country outside of Africa?
They are from outside of Africa. The second one that I served was from New York. And then the other one, I think, is from Salt Lake. And then the first one that I also served with is from Montana. That is President Ruggia, that I serve as a secretary to.
Awesome. I'm curious, with there's so much success that maybe a missionary can experience by coming to Sierra Leone, and what advice would you give to a new missionary who's coming to your country to serve as a missionary?
the first advice I'll give to them is love the people and love the country. That would be the first two advice I would give to them, to love the people and love the country. And also to be more focused in what they are coming to do as a missionary in helping the people of Sierra Leone to come unto Christ. And they should also have it in their mind that the people of Sierra Leone are in haste to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ and to come unto Christ. So that would be my advice that I'll give to them, to love the country and love the people.
Awesome. I love that. And then in your current role as on the High Council, do you go around and speak at different branches or wards, or what are your responsibilities on the High Council?
My responsibility is assigned to the single adult.
Cool.
And then once in a while, the state president would assign me.
Tell me about the principle you put down here as far as being grateful. How has that been a leadership principle for you?
In Sierra Leone, we live in this part of Sierra Leone wherein things are very difficult, things are very hard, and life seems very challenging. After the civil war and after the Ebola outbreak and the coronavirus that hits Sierra Leone very hard. And when you are grateful to those that you are working with, you are grateful for their time, their talent, their resources, their ability, it will help them to understand how important they are in help building the kingdom of God. And one thing I learned from President Inkling, he said, gratitude is a sign of maturity. And when we are grateful as a leader to those that we are helping, or to those that we are helping to grow, they feel more important, they feel more loved, and they always have the desire to do more. And that is one greatest thing that I've learned about being grateful. And I normally crack a joke, and I said, most time we have two rooms in, this is just Sado 1 and 2. It's just a joke. I normally said there are two rooms in heaven. You have the prayer room, and then you have the request room, the gratitude room. The prayer room is always full with requests, but the gratitude, after Heavenly Father has answered our prayer, we'll forget back and return to the gratitude room and said, Heavenly Father, I thank you for answering my prayer. So, and Heavenly Father is always happy for people who are grateful. And when you have a grateful heart, no matter the circumstances, no matter your predicament and your challenges, you have the comfort to do more. And the Lord always grants you that comfort. And that is how gratefulness have helped me in my leadership principle. And the more you are grateful, the more you receive more blessings.
Wow. Tell me about find an excuse to win.
Yeah. Finding an excuse to win, it's one greatest lesson that has even helped me in my current circumstances, so in my current situation, being on a wheelchair after my accident. No matter the challenges that we face in life, no matter how difficult the task is, no matter how difficult your calling is, no matter how hard your calling is or your responsibility is that they assign you to, we must always find an excuse to win. And there is nowhere in the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, wherein Heavenly Father said life is going to be easy. He didn't say that. What he said to us that if we endure to the end and do the things that are right, we'll receive into heaven, and thereby we may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. And when you have the desire to find an excuse to win, you never complain, you never murmur, you never say this job is too big for me. You never said this calling is too big for me. You never use the word, I cannot. I'm afraid. I'm tired. You avoid those words. So in finding an excuse to win, it's one key road that has helped me in my leadership principle. I remember there was a time when the mission president said I should go to McKinney during the Ebola to go and create a new branch. And people were afraid to go to McKinney to travel. But when the mission president called me in Ghana that, President Doe, you need to go to McKinney and create this new branch. And I told the mission president that despite the lockdown, I'll find an excuse to get a pass to travel to McKinney, and I'll get the job done. So that is how powerful finding an excuse to win. You go all out, no matter how difficult the task may look like. When you have that mind, that mindset, and finding an excuse to win, you go all out to get the job done. And when you get the job done, you receive the blessing of comfort and of peace. And in a nutshell, or in one word, you release some endorphins that yes, despite the tax that was too heavy for me, I was able to get this job done.
And how long have you been in your wheelchair?
On the 28th of April will be 8 years.
Wow. And then the last principle you put here is you are in control of your pain. Tell me more about that lesson.
Well, nobody's in control of our pain. We have to be in control of our pain. And that is one great leadership quality principle that I also learned. And that reminds me of the Savior Jesus Christ when one of his disciples took his cross from him. I think it was Peter who helped the Savior to carry his cross. And then he could not able to take the cross to the Calvary because that was not his pain. It was the Savior's pain. The Savior took the cross back from him and carried the cross to Calvary. And that is an example. We all have our pain. We all have our trials. We all have our difficult times in life, and we have to be in control of our pain. And when we are in control of our pain, we are able to accomplish the most difficult tasks. We are able to accomplish tasks that people think that it is not possible to accomplish. And most time I would tell the single adult and the missionary that I was assigned to that as a missionary, you should always strive as much as you can to be in control of your pain, because you have the responsibility, you have the tax to execute your duty.
That's great. Any other leadership stories that come to mind that you'd like to share?
Yes. I think it was in 2016 when the mission president for Sierra Leone by the name of President Clausen, we went to the district center at Kisii to call the new district president. We went into the room and we sat down and we start doing interviews We interview branch presidents, we interview elder quorum president, we interview high council men. And after the interview, it reached to a point that me, the mission president, and myself went down on our knees and we start to pray about whom the Lord should call after the interview. And in that process, the mission president felt the Spirit to call a brother to be the district president and to be a counselor in the district president. And the mission president asked me how I feel about it, how I felt about it. And because of there was some past story that I know about the brother, and I told the mission president that I'm not sure it will be good for the calling. And I said that. And the mission president did not deny that, what I said to him. We went back home. He went to the mission home and I returned to my home. And that night, I was disturbed. I was not able to sleep. I was not. And the next day, even when I was driving my car to go to my office, I was still disturbed. And the Spirit kept telling me that repentance is the sweetest part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whom the Lord called, the Lord qualify. And the Spirit keeps telling me that none of us are righteous in our calling. But one thing that pierced my mind so much that I will never forget in my life, it was when I have a butterfly on my body. And this was a thought. Whom the Lord called, the Lord qualify. I should go back and tell the mission president and sustain the mission president to call that brother in the district presidency. And I called the mission president that night and I told him about how I felt after the interview and how disturbed I was. And I explained to him, and during the district conference, that brother was called as a counselor in the district presidency. And that brother turned up to be a great leader in the district presidency. And that is one principle that I have learned also, that the Lord is not looking onto our weaknesses. And when we are called into leadership calling, the Lord has seen two things in us. This is what I believe. He has seen some good quality in you that he would want you to impact in the life of other members that you are leading. And he has also seen a weakness in you that he would want you to strengthen during your calling or whatever calling you'll be serving at that moment. Because callings help us to strengthen our weaknesses and help us to grow. And those weaknesses also would turn to be a blessing to those that we are serving.
Wow. That is so awesome. Any other stories come to mind that you'd like to share about leadership?
Yes. That was also serving in the district presidency. That was in 2006. There was a time when we have the largest district in Sierra Leone with 13 branches. And I was in the district presidency serving as a second counselor. And the district presidents, by the name of President Bunduka, always taught us how we can able to reach out to the members and to understand their needs and to help them to grow spiritually and physically, especially in the self-reliance world, how they can be able to be independent and self-reliance and help them to pay their tithing and their fast offering. And sometimes we would say to the district president that, how are we going to accomplish that task? And the district president always said to us that, brothers, you have been called. All what the Lord wants from you is to go out there and talk to these brothers, to these leaders, and help them to do the right thing and to stand tall and to stand faithful and also to be committed to their calling and to love their members. And for me, that principle of perseverance have also been a blessing unto me in my life and in the life of my families and even those that I'm serving with right now.
Awesome. Those are awesome stories and really helpful principles. Anything else that we missed before we wrap up?
Yes. I don't know if we talk about the principle of listing.
Okay. Teach us more.
One of the principles that I also learned is, I don't know if we talk about listing. And listing is one, another very important principle that also help me in my leadership role. And the way these have helped me in my leadership role is by listening, paying attention to what leaders are saying, to what members are saying, listen to them with patience, with love, with understanding, and also putting yourself in their own shoe of what they're explaining to you or helping you to understand. And when we listen to those that we are assigned to serve, would always able to understand their needs and would able to understand what they are saying and what they want to be done and how we can able to help them to grow spiritually and physically. And Heavenly Father and the Savior Jesus Christ is one great example of listening. Because even when we are praying to our dear kind Father in heaven, He always listens to us without even interrupting us when we are praying. Because He wants us to know what we are saying. He wants to understand us. And He wants to answer our prayer. As we apply that same principle to those that we are serving and to those that we are helping to grow, we become more attentive to them and listen to their needs, would always have the spirit on how to help them in life or in their circumstances. So that is one principle also that have helped me in my leadership calling. And preach my gospel, talk about listening skill. And it's one great attribute for missionaries, because if you do not listen, you will never able to know the concern of that individual. And you will never able to resolve their concern or help them resolve their concern. Because as I'm speaking to you right now, you also are listening to me to actually understand what I'm saying, to understand my accent, and also to understand the point that I'm trying to make. So listening is one of the greatest principles that have also helped me in my leadership calling. And it is very, very important. And it takes patience to listen to someone.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it's been so fun to explore your leadership experience and understand a little bit more about the church in Sierra Leone. And I'd love to come visit someday and meet you in person and meet the other great people there. And as the last question I have for you is, how has being a leader helped you become a better follower of Jesus Christ?
I love that question. And there is a saying that I always say that great followers become great leader and great leader become great followers. when you are a great leader and you are released into your leadership position and become a member sitting in the congregation, you become a great follower. You become a great follower. And I remember quite well when I was released in the district presidency, the first Sunday that I was, that I attended my home branch, I asked the branch president if I can pass the sacrament. And the branch president gave me that opportunity to go back and sit and pass the sacrament. And I felt so happy serving, passing the sacrament to my branch president and to my members who I was once presiding over. It makes me feel very humbled, very polite, and it helps me to feel the Spirit more.
And that concludes this How I Lead interview. I hope you enjoyed it. And I would ask you, could you take a minute and drop this link in an email, on social media, in a text, wherever it makes the most sense, and share it with somebody who could relate to this experience. And this is how we develop as leaders, just hearing what the other guy's doing, trying some things out, testing, adjusting for your area. And that's where great leadership's discovered, right? So we would love to have you share this with somebody in this calling or a related calling, and that would be great. And also, if you know somebody, any type of leader, who would be a fantastic guest on the How I Lead segment, reach out to us. Go to leadingsaints.org/contact. Maybe send this individual an email letting them know that you're going to be suggesting their name for this interview. We'll reach out to them and see if we can line them up. So again, go to leadingsaints.org/contact, and there you can submit all the information and let us know. And maybe they will be on a future How I Lead segment on the Leading Saints podcast. Remember, go listen to Dan Duckworth's presentation about youth mentorship by visiting leadingsaints.org/14.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness. The loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.